Again, it's good to see everybody that the Lord has brought out this morning. A wet, windy day. Praise the Lord that He's worked out the details in your life. You might actually be here this morning. And we might come together even as we are privileged and commanded to do, and to worship Him in spirit and in truth. We want to praise Him this morning for His Word, for His truth. So that's what He has called us to bring to you and to teach to you as to ourselves. And that is God's Word. Not necessarily as we see it, but exactly as it is. No less and no more. We just want to teach the truth of God's Word. That's our mission. The mission of this church is to preach the gospel, and that throughout the world. And the word gospel is thrown around a lot these days, but the gospel is Jesus Christ. And God the Father loved you before the foundation of the world. And He sent Jesus Christ to pay the necessary penalty for your and my sin. And He died on that cross and paid the penalty that you couldn't pay because you weren't qualified. Nor am I or any other living person has ever been except Jesus Christ. He hung on that cross and He died and they buried Him. And when they buried Him with Him, they buried your sin and my sin. Buried, He carried your sin the whole way. And then He arose from the grave. And when He did, guess what? The sin was no longer there. Praise Him this morning. Your sin has been placed or put as far as east is from the west. A long way. God has put them, your sins, out of His mind. Praise Him this morning if you know Him. He sends His Holy Spirit to quicken your heart and to save you and give you trust, childlike faith in what? In what this book says, in His Word. Do you believe it this morning? Praise Him if you do. Because that faith is a gift. It's free to you. It's free to me. But it wasn't free. But rather the Son of God came and paid a great and terrible price that we might be saved. Because He loved us that much. Alright? Gleanings in Genesis continues. This morning, we're going to call this lesson Jacob and Esau. And it probably won't be the only one called Jacob and Esau. Last week, we titled it The Birth of Jacob and Esau. And the Lord led us to teach on Paul's use of these boys' lives to show God's sovereign soteriological election. Soteriology, that's the study of salvation. And we taught God's sovereign election and salvation. We taught it because it's in the book. Because it's the ways of God. And that's what we want to be careful to do. Again, to teach the Word of God no less, no more. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 25 and verse 21. And we will start, we'll actually overlap a little bit from last week. Genesis 25 and verse 21. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. And the children struggled together within her. And she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels, and the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red all over like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 60 years old, 60 years old when she bare them. And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field. And Jacob was a plain man, dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau, because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob sowed pottage, And Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. And Esau said, behold, I am at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me? And Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he sware unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink, and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Verse 23, and the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. We noticed that these two nations last week were Israel and Edom, that Jacob and Esau are representative characters. It's something how God works in our lives, isn't it? He works in the lives of these Old Testament men and women so that their lives actually displayed coming events, things that were going to happen in the future, things that God put in this book for us, that we might learn how He is and how He operates, and even how we are. Now, Jacob represents a man of faith, a man of faith. Esau represents a worldly man and an unbeliever. Genesis 25:25, and the first came out red all over like a hairy garment. And they called his name Esau. Well, the name Esau actually means red. That's what it means. Red. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel. And his name was called Jacob. Now Jacob means, the name Jacob means supplanter. And a supplanter is one who is deceptive. He's tricky. He's a deceiver. We're talking about the character of these men. Even when they were first born, you still see a lot of what's going to happen in their lives. Now, verse 26 says, and after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel. And God had already told their mother that the younger was going to be the stronger, the leader. Well, this was totally different than tradition, where the firstborn was always the stronger. He was the one that was the leader, the firstborn. The older shall serve the younger. This was contrary to the custom in these times, when the elder son enjoyed all the privileges of being the elder. He had precedence in the household. When his father died, he received a double portion of the inheritance. Just being the firstborn, he was recognized as the head of the family. He was the leader. Traditionally, because he was the firstborn, he was born first. Now, we have different examples of how this inheritance, and it's called progenitor right, and these could be annulled by grave offenses, real bad offenses, real bad sins. They could be annulled and said, oh, you don't deserve to be the firstborn, so we'll pass it on to another son. It could be done that way. It could also be sacrificed or legally transferred to another son in the family, which we're going to see. So that's what happened here. Now, the difference between these two boys, one was the progenitor or the head of Edom. Esau was the head of Edom. That was the nation. The Lord said there were two nations would come from her. Jacob of Israel. Jacob was the head of Israel. As a matter of fact, Israel is his name that the Lord gives him. Now, Esau was a man of the field. He was a hunter, a rugged, headstrong outdoorsman. Jacob was a plain amble man, preferring the comforts of home. So here again we see the characters of these two boys. Esau was a man of the field. We read here, verse 28, his daddy loved him because he liked venison. And Esau was a cunning hunter, a great hunter. Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Already we see the formula for a very bad family life, don't we? We do. Isaac loved Esau. Well, I think Isaac knew what the Lord had told his wife, that the elder should serve the younger, and that Esau was not going to inherit this progenitor place in the family, but rather Jacob was. But Isaac didn't care. Isaac loved Esau. Isaac totally planned to bless Esau as the firstborn. That was his plan. He loved Esau rather than loving Jacob. Verse 29, and Jacob sawed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. I told you that Esau, the name actually meant red. Well, so does Edom. Edom means red. So when you think of the nation of Edom and the head of Edom, you think of Esau. Esau was born red as a hairy garment, and he sold his birthright for a bowl of red soup, red pottage. Now we notice that in verse 29, Esau came from the field, and he was faint. He came from the field. Now we notice over in the New Testament that this field is representative of the world. Esau was a man of the field. Esau was a man of the world. Esau didn't have any love for holy things, for righteous things, such as the birthright. Not only was the firstborn going to be the head of the family, but he also inherited the position of priest for the family. Esau didn't care anything about that. I can't help but notice, he said, he came from the field and he was faint. Of course, the field, again, is the world. That's pretty typical of us too, isn't it? It is. When we dwell in the world and the world's on our heart and our mind, and that's what we care the most about, we get faint, don't we? We do. We get weak. We get weak. The world does not provide what man needs. It cannot. Man is different than just an animal. He's a spiritual creature. He is. An eternal soul. You have. He was faint. A man of the field was starving to death. That just doesn't sound right to me, does it to you? Of course, I guess I'm kind of a man of the field too. I was raised on a farm, raised hunting and fishing, and raising animals and slaughtering animals and raising vegetables, and it's just kind of been my life. I was raised that way. I'm not saying I'm a great survivor in the wilderness or anything, but a man of the field couldn't find anything to eat, and he was about to die. After reading this a few times, I'm not sure that's really what he meant. I'm not sure. Surely, a man of the field could have found something to eat. Especially if he had something really valuable that he cherished, being this birthright. This birthright was something important. Very important. Esau didn't care much about it. So here he comes, and he's hungry. And Esau said to Jacob, verse 30, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage. For I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. Oh, here's the supplanter coming out any minute. The deceiver. He wants to make this thing happen, see? He wants to steal this birthright from his brother. They were at odds with each other, even in their mother's womb. But don't you know that all the way up to this particular time, they were at odds with each other? They were. Two manner of people, struggling together. I think they fought a lot. And here we see the supplanter, Jacob, telling his brother, who's hungry, I've got some red pottage right here. I know you love it. Just tell me your birthright. What did Esau say? Verse 32 says, and Esau said, behold, I am at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me? Now, did he mean, I'm fixing to fall over dead. I couldn't find anything to eat out in the field. Where I live and where is my whole life wrapped around. I couldn't find anything to eat. I'm about to die. I don't care about the birth right now. Give me some soup. Is that what he meant? Or was he saying, what good is it going to do me to inherit all this stuff? Because one day I'm going to die and somebody else is going to get it anyway. You ever heard that? I have. What does it matter? All this natural physical stuff that we work so hard at. One day, we're going to pass away, and our kids or somebody's just going to split it up and sell it or anyway. I think maybe that's more where he was coming from. Not sure about that. But I think that's more what he was saying. What good is it going to do me to inherit all this stuff? He didn't hold Abraham's blessing was very high esteem, did he? It wasn't very important to him. You see, Isaac was the son that inherited everything, remember? He had it all. He inherited everything. And so, the firstborn son was to inherit everything, naturally. But God had changed that. God had changed that. So, verse 33, Jacob said, swear to me this day, and he swore unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Sold his birthright. He didn't care much about it, did he? No, he didn't. Not at all. The double portion of the inheritance, the right to be the family chief and priest. He didn't care about any of that. We are told in Hebrews 12:16 that Esau was a profane person. Of course, the first thing in our minds is he used profanity. He was a profane person. That's not actually what that word means. A profane person or profane things actually means anything that is not holy. Anything that is not holy. Anything that doesn't bring praise and honor to the Lord. Profane. He's a profane person. He did not care about spiritual things. He had no desire even to be the leader. No desire for the inheritance. A profane person. He was worldly. He loved the things of the world. Profane. Esau despised his birthright. Alright? Now we're going to skip a chapter. We're going to skip a chapter where the famine comes into the land and where we see Isaac copying exactly what his father did in that situation. He went somewhere else besides the Lord for help. And we're going to say the story of the life of Jacob and Esau. So turn with me now to chapter 27 and verse 1. And it came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau, his eldest son, and said unto him, My son. And he said unto him, Behold, here am I. And he said, Behold, now I am old. I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver and thy bow, and go out to the field and take me some venison. And make me savory meat such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, Bring me venison, and I will make me savory meat, that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord, before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock, and fetch me from thence two good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father, that he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death. Now we see here in verse 1, again, I say, Isaac wanted to bless Esau. He did not want to follow the revealed will of God. He didn't. I believe he knew what the Lord told Rebekah about the boys and who was to inherit the blessing. But he went against that. He was determined that the son which he loved, the Bible tells us, because he ate of his venison. So here we see Isaac's not given much importance to spiritual things either, do we? We do. No, he loved that venison. And he loved that boy because of it. And he wanted to bless him. And it came to pass when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim, verse 1 of chapter 27, so that he could not see, he called Esau, his eldest son, and said unto him, My son. And he said unto him, Behold, here am I. Now, Isaac didn't know when he was going to die, as none of us do. But he was going blind. He didn't realize he was going to live another 43 years, but he did. He thought he was dying because he was going blind. And so, he calls his son Esau to him, and he is his eldest son. Maybe by a few minutes, but as we said last time, it doesn't matter. The fact that he came out first, he was the eldest. So he called him unto him and sent him out to go kill a deer. Sent him out to go get him some venison because he loved it so much. And he said, verse 2, Behold, now I am old. I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver and thy bow, and go out to the field and take me some venison. Go out to the world and bring me back something. That's what he came to do. He wanted something worldly before he died. Doesn't seem right, does it? Because it's not right. It's not right. Now Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, Bring me venison and make me savory meat, that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord before my death. He fully intended to bless Esau and not Jacob. Now therefore, my son, and this is her talking to Jacob, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock and fetch me from thence two good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. Thou shalt bring it to thy father, that he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death. And Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, Behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man. My father, peradventure, will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing. And his mother said unto him, Upon me be thy curse, my son. Only obey my voice and go fetch me them. And he went and fetched and brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory meat such as his father loved. Now at first, Jacob didn't want to do this, did he? He didn't want to be marked as a deceiver and then be cursed instead of being blessed. That part he had right. He had an opportunity here not to do this. But he didn't take that opportunity. But he went on with his mother's plan. God had planned that Jacob would inherit the kingdom, not Esau. But Rebekah decided that she would take over through this deceptive plan and bring it about herself rather than waiting on God. And she did bring it about by this deception. But we want to be careful and realize that because of this plan that she came up with, and Isaac did bless Jacob unaware, it doesn't justify what she did. We think, well, it was God's will that Jacob be blessed and not Esau. And it was. It was his revealed will. He had told Rebekah this very thing. But the deceptive plan that she came up with was a sin against God. It was a lie. The fact that Jacob was blessed and not Esau did not depend on her scheme. We could say, what if? What if she didn't do that? Would Jacob have received the blessing? Absolutely. Absolutely. Jacob sinned against God. You could pretty much say he hated his brother right there. He sinned against God. And he lied. He lied to his father. He sinned against his brother, he sinned against God, sinned against his father, lied to him. And the fact that this scheme was allowed to cause Jacob to be blessed and not Esau, the fact that it happened this way, does not mean that their actions were justified. They were wrong. mother sins one thing against her son. She sinned against her son and that she deceived him, Esau. While he was gone hunting, he came up with this plan. That's a pretty vicious thing for a mother to do. Also, she caused Jacob to sin by trusting in her, which he did, went in and deceived his father. Isaac ignored the revealed will of God to Rebekah. He forgot the fact that Esau had already sold his birthright. But even at that, Isaac still had to approve of that. Isaac was the leader, the father of the family. But he was determined to bestow the blessing of the birthright to Esau. Now Jacob, I say, did at first object to this scheme. And he said he didn't want to do it because instead of a blessing, he may get the curse on him. He didn't want a curse put on him, which certainly would be a fitting punishment for this deception. This was quite a scheme his mother came up with. Alright, 27 and 15. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. And he came unto his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I. Who art thou, my son? And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau, thy firstborn. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac said unto his son, How is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? Now listen to what he says. He says, Because the Lord thy God brought it to me. Isn't that something? One lie is never enough to keep going. Never. He had to tell another lie to cover the first lie. Always the case. Always the case. His mother must have been quite a cook. I mean, you can make venison taste like goat, but it'd be hard to make goat taste like venison. But she did it. Jacob went. And Isaac said unto Jacob, verse 21, Come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. He was suspicious. He didn't sound like Esau. Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him and said, The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he discerned him not. He didn't realize that it wasn't Esau, because his hands were hairy and his brother Esau's hands, as his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. Again, when he asked Jacob, how did he get the meat so quickly? And he said, because the Lord thy God brought it to me. That was another opportunity for Jacob to come clean. It was another opportunity. A way of escape from this sin. It was provided right here. How did you get it so quickly? Well, actually, I'm Jacob, and this was a goat that I went out and slaughtered. No, he stayed right with the plan, didn't he? He did. He could have confessed and come clean right here again, but he didn't. He went on with the plan. In verse 23, so he blessed him. And he said, art thou my very son Esau? And he said, I am. Another lie. They just keep piling up, don't they? He was on a roll and he couldn't stop. Verse 25 says, and he said, bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee. And he brought it near to him, and he did eat. And he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, come near now, and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment, and blessed him, and said, see, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed. Now, how she still had his raiment in her house, I don't know. He'd already been married for a while. I'm sure he had his own tent, talking about Esau. It could be that the garments that were worn by the priest of the family, the head of the family, as they were passed on from generation to generation, were in her house, awaiting the blessing of the firstborn. It could be that Esau came in and wore them sometimes and tried them on. They smelled like him. We don't know. But we know she had the garments and that she put them on Jacob, and Jacob deceived his father. We're going to stop right there this morning, and we'll take it up again Sunday after next, Lord willing.